The primary text I'm going to use is out of Exodus. Exodus 33 and verse 1. Exodus 33. So there, the people have been in Egypt. Then they're wandering around. And God is talking to Moses, his buddy. And the Lord said to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph," or Jacob, sorry. Thank you. "Saying, to your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." When the people heard this disastrous word, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the people of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I should go up among you, I would consume you." But then Moses intercedes for the people, and we go over to verse 14. And God says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Excuse me. His presence. God became Emmanuel, God with us. And in doing so, he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Right? We will always have him present with us. Every one of us. You know, we get stuck in ways. In my life, I think it's a religious spirit. I'm not not saying it's yours, but... You know, we say something like, "Come, Holy Spirit," like he's going to come from some distant planet and visit us, you know. When he came in with each of you, if you're here, he's here, right? Because he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And so it should be more of a, "Be released, Holy Spirit. We let you loose from the from the bonds that we keep you in. Be released and do the stuff you want to do." But he is present with us all the time. And we recognize that. And we live our lives that way. But there is something special about his presence. I learned this early, the difference. Christine is... someone who helps me with my theology. And she was having dinner with me. We were across the table at some restaurant. And I was preoccupied with something, the busyness of the day, something that has no relevance to me anymore. I can't even remember what it was. But I was preoccupied. And she said something to bring me back to earth. And I said, "Well, I'm here with you. We're spending quality time together." And she said to me, "You're present, but I want your presence." Now, she wasn't trying to be a theologian, but she spoke to my theological heart at that moment. And the difference between being present and having your presence, being actually active in the moment, being a part of, having an intimate time with a person, that intimacy is the presence of God, I think. And so we look at Israel, and they're looking at an absolutely delightful promise, I think. They're going to go to the land that has been promised to them, so the promises of God are yea and amen. This land that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's yours. Stand on the promise. Go for it. Go up and get it. And you're going to be taken from here to that place. So the promise of God is still available to you. And I'll send an angel with you. And it's going to be to a land flowing with milk and honey. That's the prosperity gospel. If you want, you know, like it was. It's there for you. You are going to thrive in this place. The only problem was, he wasn't going to go with them. God wasn't going to go with them personally. And the people of Israel saw that that was not a good word. Now, I don't know how many churches, given that opportunity today, would decline a prosperity message and a promise message because God wasn't going to be with them. Most Sundays, you never know whether he's there or not. Because you have no objective criteria to move on. It's subjective. We know that he's here. We trust that he's here. Our trust is called faith. And so every Sunday we meet and we trust that he's here and we have this wonderful time together. But there is nothing subjective in that. And God knows very well that we're very sense-driven, you know, the five senses he gave us. And so when he went with them, he manifested himself as a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, right? It didn't change, you know, it wasn't like, you know, it's your shift now, pillar of fire. It just manifested differently at different times. So his presence was there the whole time, and people could see his presence. There was something objective for them. And so when it started to move, they knew they had to move too. There was something very real for them to be dealing with. And I think that he does that still. But he's so subtle and so wonderful. But I think we can pay attention to what he's doing and pay attention to his presence. There is a jet fighter pilots go through, as part of their training, oxygen deprivation time. And during that time, they give them a pencil and a piece of paper and tell them that we're going to be decreasing the amount of oxygen in the room, and we want you to notice how your body, your very unique body, because everybody acts differently, your body will react differently to the lack of oxygen. Some people, the hair on the back of their hands stands up, and some people start to sweat a little bit. It's just different, a different manifestation for each person. I don't have any hair on my hands, can't do that. But there's a prickly kind of a feeling that you get sometimes. Anyway, so they say that we want you to notice that, because when the oxygen is cut off in your fighter jet, you won't notice it unless you are attuned to it. And so they put them in this room, and they deplete them of oxygen. Each one of them writes down the things that they notice as the oxygen starts to get less and less. And so that when they're in their jets and it starts to go, they recognize, and they can flick some switches and get some, you know, auxiliary oxygen or whatever they need to do. It's the same kind of thing with the Lord and his presence. Now, He is present. And we look for his presence very often, his gifts, right? And we, lots of churches are great with his gifts, his presence, you know, like Christmas presents, birthday presents, or the presence of God, like he shows up and starts manifesting in healing or whatever, and people are satisfied with that. But there is something that God wants from each of us to kind of seek his presence, the very nature of God, the very intimate being with us. And he wants each of us to have that kind of a relationship with him. I'll speak for myself, okay? I don't want to point any fingers because too many are pointing back at me if I do that. I've worked really hard at finding out the things that work with God. I've been to supernatural schools. I've learned to listen to the voice of God at seminars. I've learned to, you know, deliverance and all sorts of stuff. I've spent lots of time. And in my heart of hearts, I think it's to try and manipulate God to do what I want him to do. I want you to show up, God, and when we need some healing, I would really like for you to be there. And so if I, through all of my learning and through all of my studying, am able to do the thing that I need to do. Now, if I fast for 40 days, you got to show up, right? I've done that, and he didn't. or if I call on the name of Jesus, oh, no, it has to be Jesus Christ because he's the Messiah. And you know, like it's almost like if you hold your tongue, kind of lop it out the left side of the mouth, it won't, you know, it won't work. But if you do it the right side, it'll work, you know, that kind of. Silliness, you know? The whole thing is about being with him and not about getting what I want. Most of my prayers in my lifetime, I'm ashamed to say, are directed at him and telling him what he needs to do. Jesus, we need some money. Jesus, we need some healing. Jesus, they need some deliverance. Boy, do they need deliverance, Lord. Would you move in that way? You know, so I'm really, when it all boils down to it, just telling them what to do. And the problem with that is that we are not equal partners in this relationship that we have. He's my friend. He says he is. He wants to do things with me, but it's like the United States and Puerto Rico, you know, like they're not equal partners. The United States is Puerto Rico's sort of part of it, but the idea is they can't be equal. Puerto Rico is just a little tiny thing. Doesn't have the clout, doesn't have the army, doesn't have the whatever it is that the United States has. And the United States is huge and powerful. And they will never be equal in most ways. Other than when the United States says, okay, we're equal in this. Because they make the rules, really. Well, it's like that with God. We're not equal partners. He will give me the desires of my heart. I know the scriptures. But it's my heart that's the problem. Because my heart wants what I want. And I want it now. And what he's looking for is relationship. And he manifests himself in wonderful ways to show me that he loves me and is with me. And so the idea is that he wants us to have not just his presence when we come together, because there is a corporate presence here, but he wants to manifest himself wherever I am. In my home, in my car, in the marketplace, he wants to manifest himself. Now, how does he manifest himself? Lots of different ways. He's the Prince of Peace. And so in his kingdom, sometimes his manifestation, sometimes he shows himself in a peaceful way. The very first time we went to Kenya as a church, we had a team of, I forget what it was, seven people that went, and we're in London. And in London, we had a long layover, so we went on a little tour of London. And during that time, I lost my wallet with my passport, my Visa card, you know, we're going to put all our meals and stuff on that, and $5,000 U.S. cash, all of the money for the team. I didn't know I'd lost it. It was actually, somebody picked my pocket on one of those double-decker buses. And we got back to the airport, had a meal there, and I went to pay for it, and cold sweat. My wallet was not where it was supposed to be. And so, you know, I'm thinking, where did I put it? And you know how fast your mind races when you recognize you've done something really stupid? And so I shared with the team that I didn't have my wallet, and it had all our money in it and the Visa we're going to pay with thing, pay the hotel with, and blah, blah, blah. And my passport's gone. we prayed. And it was a kind of a chaotic, help us, oh Jesus, kind of a prayer. But the Lord had been working with me on his presence. Hear and obey was the word for the year. And that's one word if you put it into a website address. That's how he showed it to me. Hear and obey. Hearandobey.com. So I got alone in the airport, busy airport. Our flight's due out very soon, and we have nothing, but we'd prayed. So I began to pray and began to thank him for where we were and began to praise his name. Well, 2 or 3 minutes into that, and I felt incredibly peaceful. I shouldn't have felt peaceful because I was not in a place where I should be peaceful. I'm in a foreign country waiting for an airplane to take me off, and I won't be allowed on the airplane because my passport is not on my body. But my team will, terrible stuff. But I had this peace, so much so that I fell asleep. Like, I wasn't anxious. It was just this manifestation of peace. And through this miraculous series of events where a boy found or saw what had happened, told his dad told the bus driver, the bus driver told his supervisor, the supervisor told the police stopped the bus, got the wallet, phoned Canada, because my business card was in it. Christine happened to be at the church, which didn't happen very often then. She answered, said, yeah, it's my husband. He's on a flight. And while they're doing that, somehow our airplane is delayed. They have mechanical issues. What a coincidence. And so Christine arranged for this guy to travel from the middle of London out to Heathrow Airport on his own dime. And he got it out there. It got through security. And then they called my name over the intercom. Yeah. Here I am in Heathrow Airport, way out in the, we were in the farthest terminal of the, and they said, would you report to security? Well, the team knew what had happened. They'd found my wallet somehow. And so they started cheering. That woke me up. And so I ran back, got the wallet, and, you know, here I am. You know, I got home. But we had a great visit in Kenya through the miracle that God worked there. But he manifested his presence to me, assuring me that he was in charge of this whole thing in the middle of Heathrow Airport. And that's the kind of stuff he wants us to do on a regular basis. It's just turn to him when we're in those places. Not out of panic, not out of anxiety, not out of fear or worry, but out of our relationship. We're building this relationship. And so, Israel, the people of Israel, recognized that it was his presence that was so important to them. I don't know how they did, but they did. We're upset. You won't go with us. They recognized out of this relationship, that this fearful relationship that they had, that they needed his presence, that the angel wasn't good enough. And we get into that place too where we need to have his presence, need to know his presence. In his presence, there is fullness of joy, right? In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And that's one of the manifestations. But joy is not something that you can work up on your own, this supernatural joy that he has for us. It's not like I used to say to people that were depressed, oh, you know, come on, just decide to be happy. Well, that's stupid. They aren't able to do that. There's some credence to cognitive behavioral change, you know, the things you believe, changing the things you believe and saying to yourself that can have some effect in that. But you can't work up the joy if it's not there. But if you come into his presence, there is a supernatural joy. Because joy is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? Joy. How do you get that joy? By hanging out with him. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's something that manifests, something that grows as we hang out with him. Joy is just one of those natural offshoots. I focus on joy because joy is our word for the year. That we're looking for joy everywhere. This has been a tough year to find joy, but he manifests himself to us in wonderful times, in wonderful ways, expressing joy to us, and we pick up that joy no matter what the circumstances are. So it looks bad, it looks awful, but his joy abounds because we seek him. And this is a time of year when we get to celebrate Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season, right? I didn't want to remind you that Christmas is just like 6 weeks away, but yeah. His presence goes with us. But we need to understand about his presence. His presence isn't a part of the Godhead, right? It's not like if you believe the Trinity, it's not the fourth part of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and presence. Well, people treat it that way. You know, like we get a little crazy in the way we respond to moves in the church. presence is the presence of God himself and manifested in Jesus Christ. Jesus became a man, manifested as a man, his presence on earth. And it's all about Jesus as we come into this season. It's all about our relationship with him, about our having time with him, about developing this intimacy with him, about expressing that fullness of joy that comes out of being with him, about Jesus. Jesus. We sang this morning, Jesus. Did you feel the difference in the room from when you came in initially to after that song? I felt, now this is all really subjective, I think, but I thought I felt a significant change in the peace that I was feeling after we were singing the name of Jesus over and over again. Because he responds to us. And that's his presence. So everybody responds differently to his presence. I recognize it just the way I work in a room. You know, like we were talking about jet fighter pilots. When I start to feel the presence of God, when I start to recognize it, it's like when you walk into a cold water, a lake, right? Not the Caribbean. You may not recognize what I'm talking about. you walk into a lake in Canada, and your legs start to get that tingly sort of a feeling, and then you walk out, and they're still kind of buzzing, you know. And that's the feeling I have, and it starts at my ankles and it goes up to my knees. And if I feel that in a room where we're starting to praise God, I start to say, thank you, Lord, for being here in such a wonderful way, because his presence is starting to manifest himself to me. And I recognize it because I've, as a jet fighter pilot, I paid attention to what what happens when he shows up. You know, when people are flopping on the floor and healings are happening, do I feel any different in this room? Well, it turned out I did. And so when I feel that feeling all the way to my head, I'm, whoa, something is happening here. But he will manifest himself differently to you than he does to me. You will recognize his presence in a different way than I do. So I just encourage you to pay attention. Write it down if you need to, just like a fighter pilot. But work on that presence. His presence can change atmospheres so quickly. We have a friend who's been with us a few times, Graham Powell. He lives in Vancouver Island, but he is an amazing deliverance minister. I have not been in the presence, no pun intended, of anybody that could do the things that he can. Because he can, he has been given authority by God to deliver a whole room of anxiety, for example, or some fears, or you know, just whatever God is telling him that night. And you'll see people all around the room start to yawn, start to cough, start to have a manifestation, and when they leave, they don't have the problem that they came in with. And it's an amazing thing to watch. And so in the room, I'm saying, God, are you here? And I start to feel the manifestation. Yes, he's here. And yes, it's starting to happen. And yes, the whole atmosphere in the room changes as Jesus starts to do something wonderful. His presence is manifest. We know he's not just present, but his presence is here. And often when his presence is here, he gives us presents. And you know, all of that stuff. It's just a wonderful time. So I want to, over the next week or 2 weeks or whatever, however long God says, I want to focus on that and how we can build the presence in our lives individually and corporately. What it is we need to do. You need to have a theology of the presence. A theology is just what you believe, right? About God. Theo and the word, logos. You know? So theology. And every one of you is a theologian. Not what we would call a theologian, but you have your own set of beliefs that you've built on the words that you have heard about God. And so it's important that you believe the right things about God. Right? And so we want to focus on those things. Because if you don't have a good theology about what's going to happen in the room, then you might accept things that really have nothing to do with what's in the Bible. Or, you know, it's just the way the church has gone over the course of time. And so, presence-driven church is what I think we're still called to. So that we look for his presence and we recognize his presence and we take his presence out into the world to give it away. Because when you're feeling joyful and the rest of the world isn't, they want what you got. When you've got healing because his presence is manifest in your life, you can give that away. And give away the things that God wants us to give away. And so I think we need to purpose to do the things that he's called us to do. And the one I wanted to focus on first was presence.